Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. Welcome to Healing Class here at House on the Rock Church. My name is Pastor Sean. We're going to start off this morning with a quick word of prayer. It relates to healing school. And I want us to carry that consciousness that God is here. Okay? As we delve into the unsearchable riches of His Word, consider healing as provided by the cross. Let's be conscious of the truth and reality that He's here in our midst. Father, I just thank You for this time. I give You praise and glory for all that You fully perfected by the death and the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. Thank You, Father, for the reality of healing and divine health that we have in You. Give You praise, Lord, even for walking in the fullness of that which You provided and which we have fully received. We give this time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to start off this morning with a couple of testimonies. Who knows why that's important to share? What's going on in the midst? What's happening in this body? Encouraging. Builds hope.
We know that God's word is true, and it just confirms the word.
Confirms the word. Okay. Yes, Doris.
Because we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Okay, by the word of our testimony, which gives credence, the word of that testimony, of our testimony, gives credence to what Jesus perfected.
That's right.
Okay, so praise God. Because till tomorrow, the spirit of testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Concerns him, concerns Christ. All right. First one, I'm sharing two this morning. Is that okay?
Amen.
All right. This one came in from Gail. I had a cloud over my mind for a week. Things I normally do without even thinking about, I couldn't remember. I seemed to be in a fog the whole week. I sought prayer after healing school, and before I left church, it was as if a curtain had been pulled back, and my mind was clear again. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Like a cloud over our mind. Couldn't remember things. Was forgetting things. It wasn't clear. Power of God, so easy, healed. In the name of Jesus. All right. Second is from Hilda. It says, last Sunday, before my prayed for me, I had sharp pain in my left side for 2 days. She prayed powerfully, and the pain was completely gone the same day. Praise the Lord. I'm completely healed. Sharp pain. Now, because she shared that with me, pain was so sharp that she couldn't lay down properly for 2 days. Couldn't lay down without feeling excruciating pain. Received prayer, and by the power of God, the pain just dissipated. The pain was gone. Hallelujah. She was rid of that, free of that. So awesome. Praise God. I'm sharing this to give glory to God and to encourage our hearts. I don't know what challenge you may specifically be going through in your own situation, in your own, you know, case, circumstances. But power of God is true. Power of God is real. And you have that on the inside of you, as we'll find out as we go on in today's class. All right, I titled this class real quickly for this session, for this time, Healed or What? Healed or What? Healed or what? Listen about the book of Isaiah in chapter 53. I'm going to read two portions of scripture. And we're going to get into today's class. Isaiah in chapter 53. Isaiah in chapter 53. We're going to take two verses, verse 4 and 5. Passage we know well. Please, let's look into our Bibles. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. I jumped into the good part so quickly. Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs. We know that word griefs is the word sicknesses. And carried our sorrows, that is our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Please pay attention to the tenses as we continue on this morning. That's the first portion. Let's turn our Bibles over to the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2. I tend to quote this often, but I want us to look into our Bibles this morning. 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 24. We should have these passages, these scriptures, etched on our hearts, emblazoned there, rooted there, settled there, solidified in our hearts. Verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. A flurry of questions this morning, friends. Are you healed? This question is to be approached in an individual manner, personally, specifically, for you, by you, I might add, through you. It's just for you to answer, to know the answer, to be assured, to have conviction concerning that response. Not are we healed? We know we are. But do you know? Are you assured of this? Is this truth to you? Is this the reality that you see yourself living, operating? Is that you? Does that describe you? Does that define you as a person, as an individual? Are you healed? Another question. Were you healed? Isaiah, writing on the unction, says, by whose stripes we are healed. When Peter, by revelation, in penning this epistle, said, by whose stripes you were healed. What tense is that, friends? This is main focus I want us to have this morning. If God's word reveals that by his stripes we were healed, I've come to see that in some manner, one of the things that hinder us from seeing the truth and the reality of what Jesus did by that cross as it relates to healing in our situation, in our circumstances, in our bodies, is some way, somehow, having this conception or this idea, however remotely placed in our hearts, that the healing and divine health, that is somehow what? Future. That's a major block in our mental state, in our heart state, positionally. And it tends to be a challenge. And I just want us to be real and open in this discussion this morning, because I'm opening this up. Is that okay? All right. How does this play out? When we have a rhetoric or a conception which issues forth or which flows out from us in such ways. Expression. God can heal my dot, dot, dot. God will heal my dot, dot, dot. Bible reveals in Proverbs in chapter 18, verse 21. Who knows what's in that? Who knows what's there? Jack. Because I love it. Eat the fruit thereof. Life and death are in the power of what? The tongue. So it's possible that in our experience, we have the understanding that, oh, I'm not supposed to take ownership of that infirmity. I'm not supposed to take ownership of that health condition, which is negative, or that sickness, or that disease, or that injury, to the extent whereby I know, and that's the hope and that's the expectation, that I know not to say, oh, my high blood pressure, or my cancerous growth, or my migraine, or my diarrhea, or whatever it is. And trust me, the list is endless as far as what medical science is, what the doctors will tell you that's out there. Sometimes you hear some things, you can't even pronounce it. And as a pastor, sometimes when I hear some things, I don't act like I know what they're talking about. Right. Would you please just tell me what they're saying? Exactly. I'm not. I mean, it gets that bad. So we're seized of that. We're aware of that. I'm not saying, oh, okay, this is mine and stuff of that nature. But when you couple that, when you relate that to that idea or that conception of saying, okay, I've got this down, not to say, okay, it's mine, because I know it's not. I know the enemy's trying to play stuff on me or whatever it is, because we know that that stuff is not from God, correct? Correct? Okay. Acts 10:38 and so many other passages. We know that. We ought to know that. All right. So, but what about that mindset? What about that state of mind? What about that ideology that paints, that portrays that God will do what he has already done or performed or perfected? I'll give an example. Hear me clearly on this. A statement can come forth in such way. God has made provision, hear me clearly, for my healing. And the idea we have is the provision is there. He's made that provision. But some way, somehow, I, as a person, as an individual, need to do some things. Maybe a list, maybe one or two things. I need to do something to what? Make it what? Happen. Or make it, what's the word?
Manifest.
But I'm saying this morning that the first port of call, us, our launch pad, in our hearts, in our minds, the starting point, always, we need to move from the point that, as the word says, by his stripes, we were healed. That means taking ownership of the truth and the reality that of his fullness, as it says in John 1:16, I have received. John in chapter 1, verse 16, it says, grace upon grace, and I've said repeatedly, at healing school and in healing class, for me, by way of revelation, I see that this, in his grace, he also provided healing and divine health. So, I have fully received as it concerns this grace of healing as well. In salvation, when I believe, when I came into Jesus, when I made him Lord and Savior. That's the sense in which to see that God made provision. Why? Because if you see provision as outside of you, that's going to be something that you're going to be trying to attain unto in what? Guess how you're going to be trying to attain unto it? Works. In your own power, in your own might, by your own strength. And guess what? How many know that makes it doubly hard, if possible? Yeah. If it's possible, it makes it what? Doubly hard. I don't know if that's such an expression, but I'm using that this morning. Can we have faith in God and believe him at his word? So that if he said, by his stripes you were healed, then of the truth, you were healed. Amen. Question this morning. Why is it hard? If the word says we are healed, and the word says you were healed, you specifically, particularly, why is it hard for us to see, appreciate, and accept the done reality of our healing? Why is it hard? I'm asking this morning. Why is it difficult? I remember a long time ago, I always used excited, and it still happens today. I'm excited that, oh, you know what? I didn't put it there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It's in the Bible. I didn't conjure that. I didn't construct it. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. So, you know, let's not try to deconstruct the word or try to argue with the word. Okay? So, but that's an aside. Why is it difficult? If it says you were healed, you had something in your mind? Next.
I cannot stand without one of the believers. If we are among our family members who don't believe, we want to speak the same language that they speak. But the one that really concerns me is when we are among believers, we believe the same thing. I think watching what we say, whether it pertains to healing or every other thing. You know, Jesus Christ, there was no mountain he did not climb to get me. It's not that he will climb to get me. He already climbed the mountain to get me. If we begin to speak in those terms, present and past, in everyday, becomes our everyday language, I think it will become our lifestyle. That's what it has always concerned me. We don't.
Amen. So what we speak has to agree with our reality. What we believe. Yes, go. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Anything other than that is a statement of unbelief.
Amen. All right. We have to say what the word says. Yeah. And to get to that point, we'll talk about this later. What does it take to get to that point where you see the word for what the word reveals and then agree? You have to agree in your heart that it is so. You have to reckon that it is so, that it's true and it's so, it's real. Then you take it to yourself. Then you're able to speak it out. Then it becomes easy to say it just as the word reveals it. Doris.
Thank you. It's because we go by what we feel. And feeling can be fickle. You know, it has nothing to do with feeling. We have to know, like Carol was saying, we have to know what the word of God says and stand on it. I know with myself, I believe God for healing in different areas. One, for instance, was my spine. And I had some of the best doctors. And when I was in school to be a naturopathic doctor, we were taught one thing. a lot of times people see doctors as God, that white, you know, and that's it just goes without saying. So if the doctor says, so I think we have to get beyond that by focusing on nothing but the Word. Yeah. The Word of God says meditate in the Word every once in a while.
No.
Day and night.
That's right.
So that's once we do that, it becomes a part of us. I just had this morning, right in the church, I felt led to call a friend. And she, to make a long story short, she was telling me about, she got out of the hospital, she had surgery for her heart, they want to do another surgery, but I'm not going to let them do it, because I know God will do it. And I said, baby, God has done it. And I took her to the scripture.
This morning.
It's just about getting past those feelings and knowing I've had healings to fall off. And then I think about it and say,
praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
We just got to be just fully convinced of the Word of God and what it says is true.
Hallelujah. Being fully convinced. Yes, Reggie.
Your question was, why does it help us?
Yeah, to take God at His Word. Yep. Please, go ahead.
There's this church in Fort Wayne where I live, and it sports 5,000 people a weekend. So it's very popular, mainly because they have such good music. But then there was a gal who was testifying, and her son in utero was diagnosed as Down syndrome. Right? And her and her husband were believing that God was going to heal him, and he was born with Down syndrome. And she was giving this testimony. She was a guest that day, and the pastor was up there. It's curious, when she got to that point of the story, the pastor said, and of course he wasn't healed. It's so frustrating, but of course he wasn't healed. And it just drove me nuts, you know. But that's because the theology is derived from the experience. The experience is not governed by the theology.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Reggie. So we have to... That's important. That's the expectation. Like, oh, of course he wasn't healed, because that's where they are. That's the mindset. That's what they hold in their hearts, that, oh, this stuff isn't real, or this stuff is not for today. This stuff is for the bygone era, or the book of Acts, the apostles, when they were on the earth, so that once they all pass and cleared off the scene, guess what, friends? That's it. We're just back to, okay, everybody on your own, you know, get those pills popping and stuff like that. That's not it. Okay? Allow God's word. And that's how we're going to end today, but I'll get back to that. Thank you, Reggie, for that. Mary, you had something.
Just to put kind of what Doris and everyone said, when you believe this so surely and clearly, it's like you would be cussing up a storm, saying every foul word to say he didn't heal. I mean, that is how, because it's so real what the word says, and it's not based on what you feel. And it's like, you know, to say he doesn't heal, you might as
blankety-blank. That's right. Ronnie, you had something.
Well, we receive salvation by confessing with the mouth and believing with the heart. And the Word tells us in Romans 12, we have to renew our mind. We have to change the way we think. Real faith is going to believe up here, I'm healed. If you have doubt, it's up here. It's not in your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. And that is a process. Mark 4 talks about the steps we go through. Building, increasing our faith, you know, greater revelation, it's a matter of renewing the mind, and it is a process. Getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's a process of knowing Him. And it takes time.
That's right.
We realize that God's Word is true, it's forever settled. We know that in the Spirit, and we can literally get to the point, hey, we're not going by how we feel, we're not going by the doctrine,
we have scriptures
for all that. Yeah. Well, the Word says, don't put your faith in the wisdom of man.
Come on.
Hey, we don't put our faith, but in the power of God.
That is correct.
Okay. We realize that listen to me, we know, because the Spirit of God is in us, we have God in us.
Right.
I mean, there's no weapon can defeat us.
That's
We're to win, and it's really up to us.
Yeah.
Preach.
Yeah.
You know, when I was sick last fall, I had a virus, and God told me, there's nothing I can do about your virus. Because we have the power and authority, and it's up, healing is up to us. It's not up to God. He's already done it.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of us getting a hold of this word, and it is a process of growing and developing our, in a sense. But listen, you can get to where this here agrees with the word. 100%.
Yeah. Amen. And amen.
It's a process.
Amen.
And it's, we're going to fight the fight of faith. But it is done.
Yeah.
And when we get this revelation, it's like,
praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the thing with that is, that baseline, just knowing, you're up next, bruv. Praise God. So that's that point of, thank you, Ronnie, also knowing that, okay, when we're talking about, okay, receiving, it's not about the healing because you already have that. That's already real. That's true. At best, it's about what? You actually seeing it. Of which, well, not walking. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by what? Not by what? So we don't allow the sight, which includes feelings, sensory perception, knowledge according to the flesh, that is, knowledge according to the world, what the world feeds you, projects on you, what the doctors say, the diagnosis and think reports and all of that stuff, all of that put together, including what you see physically, including what you experience in your body that's going on. Knowing that, okay, that's not what we get moved by or what we live by. It's by what? Faith. It's by implicit trust. In who? And what about Jesus? The finished work. The finished work, that he already did it, that you already have it. Friends, the provision is that it was provided, it was sealed, packaged, and handed over, delivered, and received. Someone say received. You have received. Say, I have fully and freely received my healing. You have. It's not something out there in the stratosphere. It's something out there in the atmosphere that you're fighting towards. And it's a shift, friends, in our mindset. The longer we remain in that mindset of I'm trying to get it or God will do it, then the longer you're going to remain in that position of seemingly running and you're in the same spot. Concerning that matter, concerning that health issue, concerning that injury, concerning that condition. Just a subtle shift. To understand, agree with God's word, that it's done, that I've already fully received. All that's left is for my mind to align with that which is on the inside, my spirit, and then I see the manifestation. Then I see it actually come out. As far as this world is concerned, and it's tangible. Let me use that expression. You had something. Sorry, you had a point.
Oh, because, yes. The fight of faith in that mind sometimes is to know that there is. We live in the realm of the sin, which is from, I know, the demons and the whatever, and they're the ones whispering things that we don't even realize they're whispering because in our mind that the word of Christ has to constantly push aside, and that will change our emotions and whatever. So the acknowledgement that our, who are we fighting our good fight of faith, but who are we fighting against, that there is, that we're fighting. And that, yes, that healing is our weapon. Because the Spirit is the weapon that he's given us. And that's why it is given to us as a spiritual thing, that it's not just words. It's a spiritual sword that we're using for our healing.
Amen.
We've got to cut away the evil.
And we've talked about this severally at healing school and in healing class. It is great and awesome to see and acknowledge that. Reggie, you had something? I was just going to jump on it. You sure? Because you might lose it. You might lose it. You might forget it. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to bounce off the totality of the cross. What you just said. 2 weeks ago, I was struggling with the first one. First it says, those who will come after you must take up their cross and follow them. Right? I'm not here to bash evangelical churches, okay? I'm not. But in the evangelical church, that's really regarded as you need to take up your pain and your suffering. But as asking all those questions, I don't get it. You know, this isn't what it means, right? Tell me what it means. And he revealed to me, sorry, whenever the whisper works to make emotion, but he revealed to me that the cross was the point of the greatest victory in human history. Mm. Right? It wasn't just Christ's victory, it was our victory, right? And when you follow somebody, what do you do? You do what they do. So that verse, when he was telling me the totality, recognize the totality of what happened at the cross. It's not whoever's going to come after me has to suffer and die. It's whoever comes after me has to take up the victory of the cross, everything that was won there, and do as I do, heal the sick, raise the dead, kill the dead, and on. It's not a negative verse at all. It's positive, you know? Take up the totality of the victory of the cross.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry? All right, so just back to the point that, thank you, Reg, you raised earlier on. We are not unaware of his devices, that is the enemy, okay? And we see exactly the picture as shown in Acts 10:38, how Jesus walked and the template that he gave us based on power and authority, which we now have. We'll get to see this, you know, if not today, we'll continue on next week as is. And it's important. We're not unaware, but guess what? We're no longer under his domain.
That's right.
As far as his kingdom. That's something to recognize. That's something to appreciate. That's something to have conviction concerning. Because if we think that, oh, as believers, as followers of Christ, we're still under the power of the enemy or under his control or under his rulership, then that gets to the point where whatever comes in, you just feel that, okay, I just have to take it. That's my lot. That's my portion. It's just going to come. But we have victory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? And power. He went about doing good.
Yes.
Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Guess what? For God was what? With him. Now, God is with you and he's not only with you, he's where? He's in you. And you're in him. That's why greater is he that is in you than he that is where?
In the world.
So I remember how I used to say this in the past. If it comes to a shootout concerning God and the enemy, there's no contest. There's no contest, friends. There's no contest at all. It doesn't even start. Because guess what? You seated there looking at me, staring at me this morning. Guess where you're seated, Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 6. You're sitting together with him in the heavenly places. What's that position? What does it imply? Far above all principalities and power. Far above. Does that sound like a contest? Again, hear me clearly, friends. It's not that we are unaware. We're aware. But then we are more aware, we choose to be more aware of the greater one on the inside than what's happening out there. And the way that plays out is by our speech. What are you saying? And what you're saying will be born from what you actually believe and hold in your heart. What's resident there? That's what's going to come out. Oh, is it my high BP? Is it my cystic fibrosis? Is it my whatever? Is it yours? Really? It's yours? It's not. Recognize that for that. Say what you need to be saying as by the Holy Spirit. Expunge. That's the. You had something, Ronnie.
Well, you know, the word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
That's right.
Because they refuse knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, the wonderful thing about our church is, hey, the revelation we have, it's not really to us, it's the revelation we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is no defeat to those who know their God. But we you have to, this here, it's all about the Word. Jesus is the Word. He is the living Word.
Mm.
And lives forevermore. And so, we get a hold of this Word, and hey, there is no defeat. There's no defeat. Because
Amen.
God is in us.
Amen. Hallelujah. There's more in this, but because of time, I want to just zero in. You had something, right? You had something. Yes.
Oh, I'm just listening.
Sorry, Johnny.
It all wraps around two things.
Yes, Johnny.
Walking after the flesh and walking after the spirit. Without intimacy, we're always going to walk in the flesh. But with intimacy, we're going to walk after the spirit. And what will happen is most time, if you're walking intimately with God, I mean, if you can't trust him, then you don't receive the promise, right?
Mm.
You can only receive if you trust. So give them. And that only comes through intimacy.
Yeah.
So the more intimate time we spend with God instead of the world, the more you won't even be going to a doctor because you'll be walking in the sunlight.
And that's it, friends. And those are the things that we're going to look at. What we need, he has already given to us. And the truth of the matter is, Romans 8 says, and you are not in the flesh, we are in the spirit, I think Romans 8, 9. So be, the if is not doubtful, is since the Holy Spirit is in you. Because if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So that's again, and that's why I keep talking about this mind shift. The position, we always have to get the position right. Even in struggling with sins, for example, or misdeeds or errors or whatever, you know, those characteristics of the old man who is dead. Let's not mix it up, friends. It says you are not. The word says you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit, since the Spirit of God is in you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you don't belong to Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. You don't belong to Christ. You don't belong to God. So, but the starting point is to know that I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. And when I have that conception, that understanding that I am in the Spirit, then it makes that walk what? How does it make that walk? It makes it easier to walk that walk, the walk of righteousness. Because I see and understand that I've been made righteous, not by what I did or how I could perform, but he made me righteous. And justified, and sanctified, and holy, and
that,
in fact, it's
that.
Endless.
All yeah. That. Yeah.
One other thing that I want to add is that as believers, especially when you make up your mind again, this is like this, you know, you say, today I'm going to trust God, I'm going to stand on the word of God. One scripture that comes to mind is Mark chapter 4, verse 17, that says, because of the word, when you draw the line on the sun and say, I'm going to stand by the word, the enemy is going to push to see how firm, how convict you are about standing by the word of God. But if you remember James 4, 7 also that says, if you submit yourself to God, resist Satan, he will flee. If you stand, not flinching. You know, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer
in this matter.
I'm not paying attention. Right. I'm standing by the word of God, understanding where that is coming from. It won't be long. The pain, the condition will disappear. It's just knowing where that is coming. Not that you are not healed, but that the enemy is pushing your boundaries to see if you will continue to stand in the word of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go into the scripture and just see how God has fortified us in this to be established in this present truth that we were healed. And so because we were healed, we are healed. That's the reality to which we have been called. That's the existence. That's the plane. That's where we live. That's where we live. That's where we reside now. Okay? And it's just so awesome. I was going to go into a thought, but I'll leave that for next time. For example, let's look at Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians in chapter 3. Before we read, Pat, any thoughts?
Well, I was listening there, but Pastor Sean asked me earlier, like Johnny said, don't know the one you kind of talk. And it's just head knowledge, and it's just that I want to work, but I know all these different scriptures. I know you can take this scripture and work this scripture. I was born again for 29 years since the Lord's Day. And it wasn't until I met Mike Mills in 2011 when it happened. What did the Holy Spirit say? I never thought the scripture was just in the equation in relationship. And when I accept that third part of the God in the kind of teacher and my friend, and I brought them into a relationship, then every answer I need, the answer to the situation, they're all good for the person who's the truth and the human and all the scriptures. But they're just tools without the person to kind of tell me when and how to do it. So we know that it is done, and he has the answer. But Peter said, the people from it. Remember that thing you have in the school?
Yes.
Even simple to that. Even simple to the relationship. When you really open your heart to him to develop a relationship, you have everything that is coming. So when people come up with prayer, a lot of times I work with a heart first because they want an answer and God is not a bending tree. And you can be walking in blessing and receiving blessings because you know the law. The law is going to be. And you know God's law. But you want to develop that relationship so it's more than just a bending tree. And this will help with frustrations that come when you receive in one area and maybe not in another.
Amen. All right. Well, we have just about 2 minutes left. And for the purposes of this class, I'll just leave things at Romans in chapter 12, verse 2. We'll continue next time. The passage we know well says, and be not conformed to what? Now, in the context of healing, in the context of this conversation, just as we talked about, not all what the world has to throw at you or what you're able to perceive by your senses, by your feelings, by experiences, by sight, by hearing, by, you know, all of that stuff. It says, but what? Be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So it's not just about the truth or information going in, but also let your way of thinking be affected by the reality of God's word. So it's not just about, oh, okay, the truth that is being imbibed, but then you now cause that to form a garrison or form a guard in your mind, in your heart, as to how you think, so that the way you think will be what? God's way. The way you think will be the word way, if I may put it that way. Will be, that would be the approach. That would be, that's your starting point. That's your psyche. That's all about you. Time out. Can the prayer team members, can we just go up? Yes, Libby.
Last. Trust myself. I realize that I have to humble myself under the mighty hand of God so that I can
amen.
So I can begin to even do anything. Because my understanding is this world unless I'm transformed by the renewing
of your mind.
And that's the beginning spot of understanding. I have myself a little insight. Because I'm not, I always come up with problems.
As well. And that's why we keep at it. We don't give up. We don't relent. We stay with the truth. Stay with the truth, friends. Don't dabble into other things because there's a lot out there in the world. And there's a lot out there that we can even see that I can't even see. But we're not moved by that. We walk by what? By faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, even for the truth of your word and the reality to which you've called us. Thank you, Father, because we just get to experience, enjoy the fullness of that which you've provided and which we have fully received in the area of manifestation. Thank you, Father, for the healings represented, healing manifestations represented in this room this morning. We give you all the praise and glory. for the victory that we have in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. So we'll continue on in the service at 10:45. If you're here, you need to join your faith with one of these prayer team members concerning any matter. It might be a healing concern. It might be something else, other issues, heart issues, experience, whatever it is. These ones are set and well able by the power of God to minister life in that area and grace to you. Just hook up with one of them and get to see results right here, right now, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.